Today on The Grave Talks, do we get reincarnated after we die? My conversation with Vincent Treewell. Growing up as a child of the 1970s and 80s, Vincent Treewell spent many years in front of the glowing lights of the television, absorbing episodes of In Search Of and Unsolved Mysteries. He'd spent hours searching the local library for books on the subject, in search of answers himself to the paranormal. Answers to everything from ghosts to past lives to astral projection. Today, we take a deep dive into Vincent's studies and experiences in the world of the paranormal.
Well, I've practically always been interested in the paranormal, the weird, the strange, the out there. I'd say the clearest thing that influenced me was the show In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy.
Sure.
Which was on from roughly when I was like 8 to 14. And that really impacted my life. It was just absolutely fascinating to me. And even at, you know, young age, I knew the difference between Leonard Nimoy, the guy who goes out and looks at the pyramids and stuff, and the characters that he plays like on Star Trek and stuff. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be Leonard Nimoy and go and research these mysteries.
Sure.
And that was a huge influence. Then reading, read a lot of books like Invisible Horizons, just other true, or at least nonfiction books that dealt with different topics that, you know, really were kind of mind expanding. Mm-hmm. You know, I like fiction too, but I really like the nonfiction where they get into people's stories and, you know, their encounters and try to say first, what do you feel happened? Mm-hmm. And what does this mean?
Yeah.
And how is this similar or different to other encounters that people have had? And then when I was a little bit older, I started reading this really, and I subscribe to this day, really great magazine from Britain called Fortean Times. Mm-hmm. And that got me into Charles Fort and all of the research that he had done around the early 20th century with all kinds of, he'd go through the newspapers and find all these documented bizarre events that couldn't be explained. Mm-hmm. Like when fish fall from the sky, mm-hmm. when meat falls from the sky, the Kentucky meat shower, things like that. When people see UFOs, but also when people see dragons, he'd have these things just recorded and compiled, and he had several books, and that absolutely fascinated me. Then the movie The Mothman Prophecies came out. Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty good movie, you know. I liked it, but I had to get the book. And the book by John Keel, the movie doesn't begin to scratch the surface. It's a good movie, but it's probably 5% of what's in the book. Mm-hmm. And I read that book and it really blew my mind. And after that, I knew that I had to do something in this field. Mm-hmm. You know, it brought back my Leonard Nimoy years.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'm gonna do something here.
Was there a specific area of, you know, paranormal, you know, that interest you from back in the day of the Leonard Nimoy show? Was there like a specific episode or case or segment that you saw that you went, that, you know, that sticks with me? I mean, for example, with me, it was like the Queen Mary episode of Unsolved Mysteries that really kind of got me, you know, like, oh, this is, oh, they do this on TV too. Like that was kind of amazing to me.
Oh yes. I was a huge Unsolved Mysteries fan as well. Mm-hmm. There are several In Search Of episodes that really stand out. The one on the Amityville Horror was probably the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life up to this day.
You know, yeah.
That was like 40 some years ago. It was really well done.
Yeah.
The one where they looked at Amelia Earhart's disappearance was really interesting. Mm-hmm. He did an episode on the Kennedy assassination from a totally different perspective that stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
They'd cover a lot of ground. The way they covered Bigfoot, and probably one of the disappearing ship episodes,
mm-hmm.
and the Great Lakes Triangle, that really sticks out, where they've had a lot of, there's almost like a Bermuda Triangle in the Great Lakes.
Yes, yeah.
Which, I live in the Great Lakes, and that.
I've sailed on the Badger in Wisconsin many a times, from Manitowoc to Ludington, the last steamship or coal ship that's on the lakes. But yeah, it's the lakes have so many interesting stories. I grew up in Wisconsin originally.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. Yes.
So yeah, it's a very fascinating area when it comes to that sort of stuff. So you had these interests. It was, you know, it sounds a lot like me. I was very much, I didn't have necessarily a specific incident, you know, if you will, but it was more so surrounding myself in these topics and just trying to, you know, and basically searching for answers and just keep getting more questions than answers as you go down these roads, but fascinating nonetheless. So tell me more, as you kind of grew, as you got older, you kind of left off with the Mothman prophecies, very, very intrigued by that. How did it continue from there?
Well, I should go back.
Okay.
I actually did have an experience. Ooh. As a child.
Okay. Let's hear it.
So I'm 7 years old, and I specifically remember the age, and I awoke in the morning, and there was a woman in my room, and she was sitting in like a yoga position,
mm-hmm.
and she was floating about 3 feet off the ground. And this wasn't a terrifying event,
mm-hmm.
but it also wasn't like, you know, it just seemed very normal, other than the fact that I know people can't levitate 3 feet off the ground.
Very normal, and, except for the fact there's a woman levitating in front of you.
Yes. And that's it. She wasn't scary. She wasn't beautiful. She was just a regular person. If I saw her at the mall, I wouldn't have, you know, batted an eye.
Sure.
She was wearing kind of like that era. This would be about 1978. Like kind of workout clothes,
mm-hmm.
and was just in this pose, like floating. And then as she became, this is my perception.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As she became aware that I could see her, she broke out of that pose and walked straight through the wall and was gone. And I was not terrified. I was interested. And then, as so often happens, I went right back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
When I wake up in the morning, I immediately tell my mother what had happened. And she told me that I was dreaming, but I knew I was not dreaming.
Sure.
I never dream about being in my own room.
Okay.
That's just not a thing that happens to me, child or adult. I don't dream being in my own house. And it was a thing that happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there might be other explanations, but that was my experience. Was I saw this lady, and then she walked through the wall and was gone. And that, you know, that always stuck in my mind as something that happened, and that I believe was a person astrally traveling, you know, having an out-of-body experience. And quite by accident, maybe, or for some reason, ended up in my room,
mm-hmm.
and then left. And that has always stuck with me.
Sure.
So yeah, you know, that was even before I really got into a lot of the other stuff.
And what an interesting concept too, the astro traveling that it seems some are able to do, and then essentially they come across as ghosts to others, but they're not a dead person. They're very much living and somehow are able to do this. Do you think the woman that you saw could see you? Do you think you maybe just caught her in the moment of, okay, I'm going to snap out of this? Do you think she was aware of what she was doing?
I think she could definitely see me.
Okay.
And that once she realized that I could see her, then she probably decided to return to her body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speculating, but that's the impression that I got.
Sure.
That she's just there. Maybe there was something drawing her there that was not related to me at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like perhaps a person who'd lived at that house earlier.
Yeah.
Could be a lot of things. For some reason, she was there, but she did not want to interact with me.
Yeah.
And did not want to, you know, scare me or anything. Mm-hmm. And so she just left.
And that's an interesting thing. I mean, were you able to dig any more into, because immediately we're going to think ghost, but I like your idea better. Did you look into the history of the home at all? Did you be able to track? I mean, you were seven, but I'm saying later in life, were you able to do any sort of digging or anything like that to kind of maybe connect some dots as to, you know, theoretically who may have some interest in this house? Do you know the history of the house?
That house is actually no longer even there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never been, I guess, I've never followed up on it.
Okay.
I guess because it was such a one-off encounter that I never saw that lady again.
Yeah.
And I lived there for another decade.
Mm-hmm.
And never, you know, had any thing like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of really didn't give it another thought. No, I don't think she was a dead person. I think she was a traveler. Now I have something to look up. Yes, that's a good idea. Why would she be traveling there?
How did you come? Because at the age of seven, I'm guessing you're not assuming this is someone, you know, astro traveling by themselves. At what point in life did you kind of come across that aha moment of like, maybe that wasn't a ghost, maybe that was this? And what was that like?
Oh, this I can tell you exactly. That was about 5 years later, so I'd be about 12, and I got a paperback copy of Wisdom of the Ancients, which I can't even recall the author, but it discussed a lot of paranormal and just metaphysical practices and beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's where they started talking about traveling outside your body and meditation and being able to induce a controlled OBE. And as soon as I read about that, bang, it was like, oh yes, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. That was that lady. And that made a lot of sense to me. And then when I later read Communion, and Willie Schreiber was talking about being outside of his body and looking exactly like himself,
mm-hmm.
that made sense to me that yes, that's what it was. Because she did not look like a person from another time. She looked like totally normal.
Yeah, mom like, in yoga pants, astro-traveling.
Exactly. Like, if I would have walked past her in day-to-day life, just would not have even noticed her.
Sure.
And, yeah, that's where I got the idea.
It's a very interesting, you know, concept. How far down the rabbit hole have you gone with that one, with the idea that people are able to do this?
Oh, I've done some fair amount of research, and I think it's not, I don't know the mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it works. I don't practice it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no doubt that there are people who at a minimum can remote view.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I have no doubt that there are people who can travel outside their body and go places on Earth and probably other places.
How often do you think it's people that are doing that consciously with intent, meaning I'm going to engage in this practice and my intent is to travel out of my body, versus I took a nap and that was the weirdest nap I've ever took. And they're, you know, they come back going, that was not normal. That was not a normal dream. And it was something that their body did or their energy did completely, you know, unbeknownst to them or without any sort of intent. It just seemed to happen.
Oh, yes. I think it does happen unintended, involuntarily. I think there's some people who work at practices that lead to them being able to do that, and they probably have a lot more control.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also a lot of time and effort, and it's not something that I'm in any rush to take part in, because I don't think they're necessarily the only ones traveling around.
Mm-hmm. You know? Sure.
But I think there's other people who like you said, it just happens. Mm-hmm. It's just a spontaneous, uncontrollable event.
Thing. Yeah.
And you end up outside your body walking around.
Yeah.
You have to go find it and get back in. You know, I absolutely believe that happens.
It's a very bizarre thing. And I'd be curious to get your opinion on this. This was several years ago. And I do believe that this exists. I'm not at all questioning it. I always, you know, question my own experiences and go, well, was that just a weird dream or what was this? But I was taking a nap one day. I normally don't take naps, but every once I don't know why I was taking a nap, but I was taking a nap. And I had a dream, or so I thought. I was back at my parents' backyard in Wisconsin, where I grew up. They still live there. And so I do see the place every now and then. And in this experience, I was in the backyard. I could smell, you know, the trees, the creek. I could hear the leaves. I could feel the wind. My dreams are normally not that vivid. Like, they're there, but then you kind of go, wait a second. I'm not, like, feeling any pain here as I stab my hand with this fork. And then you're like, okay, I'm dreaming. But this, it was immersive in a way that I can't describe. And I was just standing back there, just looking around going, oh, I loved it back here when I was a kid, because I spent so much time back there, and it was sunny, and you could just feel everything so vividly. I didn't see anybody. There was no interaction with anything. There was no, oh my gosh, I'm having this moment. I didn't wake up and somebody said, you know, I got a call. Someone was dead. That was kind of my concern. But no, I just woke up and went on with my day. But it was vividly strange. And I had a call on Real Ghost Stories Online, our other show, shortly thereafter, with someone sharing their own out-of-body experience. And I'll talk about that in a second, because I'd love to hear your thoughts there. But it was so different. How, when you talk to people who have these experiences, you just heard how I described it. How do others describe experiences like that?
Well, there's that dimension of it being heightened reality, where you can tell when this is not an ordinary dream. I've only had it happen to me a small, extremely small number of times. Mm-hmm. But you can tell a night and day difference. And I'm just going to throw this out there, but do you think it's possible you traveled through time? That maybe you went back there.
Well, is it
literally back there through the fourth dimension of time, and, you know, we're there for a little bit.
Like time, like I went back in time to that setting, or I literally just like went there in current day and was hanging out.
I guess either one could have happened.
That's what I wondered about.
Yeah.
Because when I was there, what I struggle with on this is there was, and not to sound corny, but there was an element of like, I don't know, fogginess, light fogginess, meaning like bright fogginess around me a little bit, you know, almost like when you're, you know, photoshopping something and you can, you know, vignette it a little bit. You can either go dark or light, and they kind of had the lighter vignetteness to the everywhere I was looking. And there was kind of a glow about everything. So it's like, I'm there, but this feels weird. And the optics were a bit off. Things were not out of place, though. But what I struggled with it is trying to identify markers of things that were there when I was a child versus what's there today. Because the setting has changed a little bit. In my mind's eye, it seemed very much like how it was today. It didn't seem like I was in a different time period.
Huh. That's fascinating, because without being morbid, that sounds like what you would have with a near-death experience, doesn't it?
You know, I guess
other than the fact you weren't dying.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, I wasn't. No, I was just taking, and I was abnormally tired that day. But no, I mean, it was. I guess I would ask, why do you go to near-death experience on that?
Because it just seems like
it was peaceful.
A peaceful, comforting place.
It was
that you're comfortable in, that you're, you know, is welcoming, but at the same time is maybe not 100% real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe generated to not scare you,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, send a welcoming, warm message rather than, you know, something unexpected's happening to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it just seems like, you know, that's what would happen if you were about to be given, you know, some kind of a vision,
yeah.
or some kind of a now is not your time, you must return type of message.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these things.
Well, I hope heaven is not in my parents' backyard. Like, I enjoyed it, but I was expecting a little bit more.
But like, that, I'll be honest, that doesn't seem that different to me,
yeah.
from a lot of people's near-death experiences.
Are near-death experiences, you know? When, I mean, obviously I've heard of many of them, but do they tend to take place in, I mean, I've talked to many people who've had them, and a lot of times it seems they're like in this other place that they don't even know where they are. I haven't heard anywhere they're like, I'm in my parents' backyard that floods. You know,
it's like, there's a quite a variety.
Yeah.
And the positive ones, I can't say that I've heard the parents' backyard specifically,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of people seeing deceased loved ones and being in, you know, there's the tunnel of light.
Yeah.
Which is a little more controversial than people might necessarily think.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a good thing, might not be a good thing. But there's a wide variety, and I get the impression sometimes people see what they need to see or what they're given to see,
mm-hmm.
during one of those kind of encounters. You know, there's people who go to kind of a waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that I can't give a reference, but I have heard of people going to some place they were familiar with.
Okay.
And just hanging out there.
Yeah.
Until they received whatever message they were supposed to get.
And you know, as a kid, this setting where I would hang out, I always remember looking back on it when I was a kid going, oh, it's so beautiful out there. Because it was. It was a really nice setting. The lawn was always really nice. It was pretty. These days, it's a little bit different. But it was, as a kid, it was really well taken care of with the neighbors doing their part because the yards all kind of came together. And I just remember thinking how beautiful and peaceful it was back there. I mean, it's nothing I've contemplated or thought of any time recently, but it was just weird to be back in that space. So after I had that experience, I had a phone call from a listener on our other program that said that they had gone, or they had a dream that they were visiting their childhood home, very much just kind of walking around and like, oh, this is neat, seeing what it is. And they walked back in the woods behind their home. It was the evening hours. And they saw that there was a fire in the fire pit back down the path. And they walked down and the person stood there for a while. She looked and she saw there was a family there having a campfire. It was not her family. It was just this okay. group of random people she did not know. And then one of the children in this, what she thought was dream experience, looks over and sees her, like noticeably is like seeing something in this wooded space where she's at, and is kind of like freaked out. And then she wakes up from the dream. That's it. Dream over. She's back in town a couple weeks later, curious about what her old house looks like, goes there, actually does the knock on the door thing and says, hey, I used to live here. Just curious, you know, how are things here? And one of she starts talking to the woman who lives there, and very friendly conversation. One of the children comes up, Mommy, that's the woman I saw in the woods the other night.
Oh, wow.
So
that's what I was kind of thinking might have happened.
Dream experience, as far as she knew, was not really thinking anything paranormal, just more curious to go visit the place in person. And that's what occurs. So that's where I kind of go to, how often are we doing this? Or, you know, and we have no idea. We think we're just in this dream state of memories, how often are we really kind of, you know, visiting spots? And then others going, oh my God, there's a ghost. Are we haunting ourselves far more than the dead are?
That's a very good idea. A very good question.
Yeah.
And I think that's absolutely something that does happen. I have heard of other scenarios like that, where people are seeing other people and presuming them to be ghosts, but each is ghosting the other.
Yeah.
You know? And that, you know, I think that certainly happens.
Mm-hmm.
That they're certainly travelers. And I think a lot of time it is involuntary and unconscious and maybe even unremembered.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
and
go ahead.
I'm sure that's something that occurs. As soon as you accept that there's more to humans than just this body that weighs a certain amount and, you know, is made of, you know, carbon and bones and flesh, and that there's anything more than that, well, then that leads pretty quickly to that other self being able to move around and do stuff and interact with other people. And I think that happens a lot.
What I wonder about, too, with this and kind of tying it in is, you know, when people have the experience of doppelgangers, you know, seeing someone either someone that they know that or it looks like what they know, or someone seeing themselves or someone else telling them that they saw themselves. Could that also be in that realm, too, where it's like, this makes no sense that this person was here. They acted really funny and strange, and then they weren't ever really there.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. It's funny you should mention that, because my family, I didn't have this experience personally, but my wife and son did. It was quite, I mean, relatively recently.
Mm-hmm.
It was either the very end of 2019 or the very beginning of 2020. I can't recall exactly, but it was, you know, it was winter and it was before COVID had become a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like right before.
Sure.
And I broke a tooth. Mm-hmm. And I get my health care through the Veterans Administration.
Yep.
So I asked my wife to drive me to the VA hospital because I thought they might sedate me. And so my son had nothing else to do, so he went along. And they dropped me off at the VA hospital. It's going to be at least an hour. It's probably going to be a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, let's go to Walmart. They go to Walmart, and they encounter me. I'm not at Walmart, but there's a guy who looks like me at Walmart. And now, you know, it's not like they haven't seen me. It's not like I've been gone for months or something. And, oh, I thought that guy was you. You know, we've all had that experience.
Sure. But
this guy, they just dropped me off a few minutes ago. And this guy looks exactly like me. And they were very disturbed by that. And my wife wanted to confront him.
Mm-hmm.
And my son talked her out of it. But so I'm asking them questions about this after I get back out of the hospital.
Yeah.
Where I was never sedated. I was conscious the whole time.
Okay.
They just wrote me a prescription and said to come back on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm totally conscious the entire time and not really, you know, just in a normal state the whole time. And I'm asking, well, what is this guy? You know, you saw how I was dressed when you dropped me off. And my son's like, he was dressed just like that too. And I'm like, okay. Well, how did he talk? And my son's like, yes, he talked, but he talked just like you talk. His voice sounded just like yours. And the real kicker for me was he was there with a different family. Okay. So it wasn't, he was there with a different wife and kids that were not my wife and kids.
Yeah.
But he looked just like me and talked like me, and literally to the point where my own wife and kids can't tell the difference. that was one of the more bizarre events of my lifetime. And I don't know what that was. It seemed to be a doppelganger experience, but I didn't see myself.
Sure.
But they saw him. And this was not a passing resemblance. This was completely on, you know, even to the voice and the clothes. And so who were these other people that he was with?
You know? Yeah.
It seems like almost some kind of other dimension, you know?
Yeah.
Some kind of somebody crossed into another reality and then maybe crossed back and just they're so close together that there's almost no difference. You wouldn't even notice the difference, except you happen to run across somebody you know from the other reality. It was absolutely bizarre. And I don't have a snappy explanation for that, but I know what happened. You know, I totally know what happened. They were really freaked out by that.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Vincent. In part two, can humans live two completely different lives simultaneously without even knowing it? What elements of a former life can Vincent Treewell recall? Do past lives have a relation to our current lives? And does Vincent believe that we could be reincarnated to locations other than Earth? Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.